Thank you, Mark. Thank you for sharing your pulpit, brother. It's a joy working with the staff that we have to work with here and the people. And this season's a little different, but they're not as much in my life right now, and I miss them. I really miss them. And today, I want to talk a little bit. Mark, every time that Easter was done, I always jump straight into a family series. And I appreciate this Sunday because I want to talk about the family. I believe if there's ever a topic we need to talk about behind the pulpit and the address, it's the family. It's been said that the family is a social unit where the father's concerned about parking space, children are concerned about outer space, and mothers are concerned about closet space. Families are like fudge, another person said. Mostly sweet, but a few nuts. Maybe you can relate with that. That's probably every family. Call it a clan, call it a network, call it a tribe, call it a family. Whatever you call it, you need one. We all need a family. I'm so grateful for our church family. And for all of you who've tuned in today, we thank you so much for being a part of our service here today. This message is not for the person sitting next to you. It's not for the people that's sitting over here or the person down the street. This message is for you. It's for you. And it applies to us. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands." That word wholeheartedly, circle that in your Bibles. That wholeheartedly following Him. Do we really follow wholeheartedly? That means every day. That means every situation. We wholeheartedly follow Him. So when we come to the family, do you talk about your wants or God's wants? Do you talk about your plans or do you talk about God's plans? When you discipline your children, do you talk about God's desires? When you're guiding your grandchildren or your children, do you use the Bible or do you just use your own thoughts and comments and wisdom that you have? Wholeheartedly following the Lord is a starting spot for the family. Wholeheartedly following the Lord is a starting spot for the family. For any marriage, for raising any child, to fix any family problem, wholeheartedly following the Lord is where you start. It doesn't start about talking about yourself, how you've been wronged, all your problems, or how you wish the other person would change. Dealing with family problems start with wholeheartedly following the Lord. And so this morning, I want to pick one passage that I want to deal with. And I want you to really concentrate this week on wholeheartedly following the Lord in this passage for the family. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Just a little line, but it says it like this. "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This passage has been so, Mark, so wrongly interpreted, I would say, through the years. Because they skip over verse 21 and they go straight to verse 22 where it says, "This means wives, submit to your husbands." And I don't know how many times people come in for marriage counseling and they look at me and they say, "Are you going to use the word submit in our wedding ceremony?" Mark, I'm sure you've had that said to you. "Are you going to use the word submit in our wedding ceremony?" Because we live in a culture that doesn't want to submit. The wife doesn't want to submit to the husband doesn't want to submit to the wife, and the dog doesn't even want to submit to its owners under the roof. And so when we look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "Submit to one another." And then it spends the next 15 verses explaining what submitting to one another will look like. And so submitting to one another, what it looks like is, wives, this means you submit to your husbands. Verse 25, husbands, submitting to your family, to your wife, it means, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Verse 33, Each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and his wife must respect her husband. That's what submitting looks like. And then it doesn't leave the children out. I hope your children are sitting around the computer screen or TV with you today, because this deals with them as well. Because when we get to chapter 6, verse 1, what submitting looks like for the children is this: obey your parents. Why? Because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. It goes on to chapter 6, verse 2. What does submitting look like for the children? It looks like honoring your father and mother. That's what submitting looks like. And we do this out of reverence for Christ. Not because the other person's always right. Children, not because your parents has always got it right and you've always got it wrong. It's out of reverence for Christ. It's not because the other person's thoughts are better than you and they're smarter than you. No, it's out of reverence for Christ. So when you submit to one another, you're just simply asking a question. It's a simple question. And the question is this: what can I do to help? That's the question you ask when you submit. What is it that I can do to help? I'm going to leverage my time, my resources, my energy to raise you up. I'm going to use my time, my money, my resources, my energy to raise you up. Now, that doesn't mean that you can walk into your parents and say, you know what, I want you to give me this, this, and this, so that's what I want. That's not what it's saying. You leverage your time, your money, your resources to raise somebody up. Let me explain it like this. My son Lucas was on the way back to college. He was a freshman in college. He was on the way back to college in his little car. There was an 11-car pileup on I-65. Lucas was number 10. And what had happened is Lucas had stopped his car. He didn't get into the 9 cars that was in front of him. He had come to a complete stop when the van behind him comes slamming into the back end of his car, shoving the back end of his car into the car in front of him. So now, luckily, my son and now my daughter Lindsay, she was with him. They both were fine. The car was totaled. And so we went out on a pursuit to look for cars. One night, Lucas comes into the living room and says, "Hey, Dad, I found something on Craigslist we need to go look at." I said, "What is it?" He said, "It's a Corvette." I love Corvettes. If you need a Corvette driven, come see me. I'd love to drive your Corvette. Corvette is the ultimate car. I don't know what all vehicles everybody likes on staff. We haven't had that conversation, Mark. We need to have that. But I love the Corvette. I love a Corvette. And so he talked to me a little bit, and the wheels were spinning. I said, "Well, he's not 16 anymore. He's 19 now. He's in college. And yeah, let's go to Mooresville and look at this Corvette." So we get in the car, and we drive to Mooresville to look at this Corvette. We get out of the car, and oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Guy throws me the keys. He said, "Start it up." And so I did. And Trevor, if you're out there, I wasn't sitting in a car. I was sitting in a race car. That thing, it rumbled, and I knew what I was sitting in. It just vibrated in there. I knew it was beautiful. And then I thought about my boy sitting in that seat. And I turned the car off, and I got out, and I threw the keys to the man that owned the car, and he started laughing at me. And I said, "Yeah." He said, "My boy's older than your boy. He's 22. He's not 19, and I won't let him have the car either." He said, "Would you like me to take your son for a ride?" I said, "Absolutely, take my boy for a ride." And so as they squealed out of this driveway and hit the road, and I know they hit 100-plus miles an hour, and they come back, Lucas was smiling ear to ear. We got in our car, and I went and bought him a 6-cylinder car that he could drive, because I was afraid if I bought him that Corvette, I wouldn't be raising him up. I might be lowering him down. And it might be the end of my son. And so when we look at submitting, it doesn't mean that you give everybody everything that they want. It means that you raise them up. So children, young people in the home today, teenagers in the house today, walk into your parents. You want to see your parents just pass out on the floor? Just walk in and say, "How is it that I can help you today? How is it that I can help you today?" You'll see your parents, their eyes roll back in their head, and they'll hit the floor. If you really want to do this well, I know we're in social distancing, but sometimes I know you'll see grandma and grandpa and those things. Show up in front of grandma and grandpa, the whole family, and say, Mom, Dad, how is it that I can help you today? You watch what happens. People are wanting to take parenting advice from your parents. Husbands, walk into your children's room. Walk up to your wife and ask the question, what is it that I can do to help you? And when you do that, what you're saying is what you have going on in your life is important to me. Whatever you're doing in life, it's important to me. So how can I help raise you up? How can I help you with this? You're saying, "What, children, what you're doing is important to me. And your problems are important to me. So I'm here for you." Wives, children, walk in to your husband, to your dad, and say, how is it that I can help you? Now, I'm going to tell you straight up, he's probably too proud. He's not going to take your help. But you can walk up and ask the question anyway, because he likes to hear it. What would it look like? Think about this. What would it look like if our families wholeheartedly submitted to each other? What would that look like? The problem is we're afraid to do that. We're afraid to do that. And here's why we're afraid to do that. We're afraid that somebody's going to take advantage of us. That's the reality of it. We're afraid that somebody's going to take our time, our money, our resources, our energy. We're afraid somebody's going to ask something of us. So we don't ask the question, how is it that I can help you? The reality is there's a little selfishness in all of us. Now, we hate to admit that. Donnie, we hate to admit that we're maybe a little selfish at times, but sometimes we're a little bit selfish. Matter of fact, when I was a teenager and I was working, and I love a Pepsi. I mean, give me an ice cold Pepsi. Mark, life is good. I like a Pepsi over Coke, to be honest with you. A good Pepsi. And so what I would do is, Mom, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I guess I got to apologize first. But what I would do is I was working, so I'd bring home a Pepsi. Now, I would find that spot in the refrigerator. I learned this from my cousin Billy. And I'd find that spot behind the broccoli and the leftovers and all. Don't look at me like, you've done this, Mark. You've done this. I would hide that Pepsi way back in there so nobody would know where it was at. And then on that day when there was no Pepsis to be found in the house, I had one. It was tucked away behind the spinach or behind the broccoli somewhere in the refrigerator. It was waiting on me. Now that's just pure selfishness. That's just pure selfishness. But the reality is we don't ask the question, how can I help, because we're a little bit selfish. We're afraid that somebody's going to get more than us. We're afraid that somebody's going to get better than us. We're afraid that somebody's going to have a lighter load than us. So we don't submit. If you're going to have a happy family, if you're going to have a happy family, the family that you're supposed to have, if you're going to have the relationship with your wife that you need to have, you want to have the marriage of your dreams, you have to learn to submit. Maybe you should add those lines in your marriage vows on both of you, for the husband and the wife, that we submit to each other. And where do we get the example from this? Where do we get the example for this? It's found in Romans chapter 5, verse 7. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. Though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good, but God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. While we were still messed up. While we were still messed up, Christ came and He died for us in the midst of our nastiness. He submitted His life. He came and gave His very life so that you, so that me, so that we could be raised up. Now that makes, when we ask, how can I help, and somebody asks you to take out the trash, that makes it look pretty little. Helping the kids with homework seems to be, well, it might be complicated, but it's not a big task to ask out of you. Handing dad a tool, I don't know if you've ever done that, handing dad tools while he's working on a car. That makes that look pretty simple. When you realize what Christ has done for you, Christ submitted his life so that we could be raised up, so that we can have a new beginning, a fresh start, a new way, so that we could have heaven. And I realized, when I realized how much Christ gave up, and you realize how much Christ gave up, we realize how much he loves us, how much he sacrificed for us. And so we need to learn to ask the question, how can I help you? I like to use this simple little illustration. I hope there's a picture of a dresser somewhere in there. Maybe it'll come up. Or there we go. I don't know about you. I like to compartmentalize my life. If you walk in Mark's office, everything has its little place. And if you want to mess him up, just move his pen. It's good. But you know, he likes everything in his little place. Compartmentalize. And we do this with our life. We have a drawer for our family. This is my family life. And I like to keep my family right here. And this is kind of what I do here. We have another drawer. And it might be work. And it might be another drawer for church or thought life or finances. And we like to put things in drawers so that we can kind of organize it, so we can have it where we want it in the way that we like it. And we take God, and what we do is we put him in a drawer, and we say, you know, this is your compartment, God. We're going to slide you in, and you can be a part of my dresser. But the reality is, God doesn't want to be a part of your dresser. God wants to be the dresser. God wants to be the dresser, and everything else in your life needs to slide into him. That's why we need to wholeheartedly give ourselves to the Lord. And when we submit to him, we give him the dresser. And we learn to submit to his will for our lives. And as we do that, we learn to submit to the family, to the people that God has placed around us in our lives. And as we learn to submit and ask the question, how can I help you? How can I raise you up today? We find the will of God. We find success in our family life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying for us while we were messed up. Thank you for submitting to the cross for us. And Father, as we talk about submitting today, you set the example and help us to submit to those who's around us. Not because they're better than us, but out of respect for you, Father. We love you. We thank you for this time to worship together. Thank you for this church that you've blessed us with. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen.